They say when it rains, it pours, and it is now pouring for our local hero, Manny Pacquiao. He was recently included by Time Magazine in its prestigious list of the world's 100 most influential people. And then later he was chosen in America as the Fighter of the Year for the second time, putting him in the class of Muhammad Ali. And now, just a few days ago, Forbes magazine's latest list of the highest paid athletes puts him in number 6, on the same level as basketball hero LeBron James, and just behind the likes of Tiger Woods and Kobe Bryant. His recorded earnings for 2009 for the year was $40 million. That's almost 2 billion pesos. Eh, kung bibigyan ako ng kahit isang bahagi ng 100 noon, payag na akong taga-punas ng pawis niya. Well, he has fame, he has wealth, and so many other things that you and I can only dream of. But then we ask the question, is it really right to make these things the object of our dreams and ambition? Now, one book of the Bible was written to exactly ascertain the most basic of questions. And this is what we began considering the book of Ecclesiastes. I told you from the start, it is a profoundly difficult book to interpret. Mahirap unawain, subalit maaring unawain kung meron tayong tamang larawan ng aklat na ito. And I compared this to a jigsaw puzzle. In order to solve a jigsaw puzzle, at least you need to know the final picture. And I suggested from the words of the opening that the final picture is that of a preacher in an assembly preaching the wisdom of life. So rather than a mere philosopher trying to ask puzzling questions, we should look at a man in an assembly preaching the word of God for the wisdom of those men and women before him, each of whom has his or her bouts of sorrow. And so we said the preached word is for wisdom in an earthly life of sorrow. Now we next compare this to a treasure chest that is locked, and we need the right key to match the keyhole of this chest. And that key is in the form of a keyword in the book. And the word in Hebrew is hebel, translated as vanity. And as I said, everybody agrees that that is the keyword. But after saying that they agree that that is the keyword, nagsanga-sanga na ng daan kung anong ibig sabihin ng hebel. And I gave you my position last Sunday that the dividing point is chapter 6, verse 12. Before 6, verse 12, vanity takes the meaning of brevity. And then after 6 verse 12, it will take the meaning of mystery based on the keywords of these sections of the book. And I said that without God, all earthly answers are beset with unavoidable brevity and inexplicable mystery. And the quest now of the writer begins, armed with our final picture and the key to the interpretation, we will now follow him. As difficult as the key to the interpretation may be, verses 1 to 3, we come to the real hard part. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. I told the gathered group last night in the prayer meeting that this is a most difficult passage to interpret. I consulted several commentaries and probably got as many interpretations of this passage. So I challenged the group to read it last night and see if we come up with the same interpretation. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Here the writer is reflecting on the coming and going of generations. Pinagbubulay niya, nagmumuni-muni siya sa pagdating at paglipas ng mga henerasyon. At ang sinasalungat niya rito ay yung pagkapermanente ng mundo. You know, he's saying generations come and go and yet the same earth remains permanent. Indeed, the cycle of nature seems so unchanging. The writer follows the process of the sunrise and sunset on and on and on. Air circulation on and on and on. The river flows into the sea and yet the sea is never full. Eh, nung binabasa ko yan, naisip ko eh, kung babantayan mong mamungang mapuno ang dagat, ay talagang mabuburo ka sa buhay mo. Pero ang punto rito ng sinasabi niya ay, it's monotony. Sunrise, sunset, the same thing. Generations come and go, and yet the same sunrise, the same sunset, the same air circulation, the same flow of rivers into the sea. And then he compares this to the human functions of seeing and hearing. The same the generation that was once here, they saw the same things and they never were satisfied. They heard the same things and they never were satisfied. And the generations that come will do the same process. And he expresses it in words that became the slogan of pessimism. There is nothing new under the sun. Wala nang bago sa ilalim ng araw. There is a Latin saying for this which translates roughly, the more things change, the more things remain the same. But let me try what the message of this passage is saying. The message is this. Without God, a generation seems so brief to make an impact on the ongoing cycle of life. Without God, a generation seems so brief to make an impact on the ongoing cycle of life. Kung walang Diyos, ang isang henerasyon ay tila napakaikli upang makapagpabago sa pag-ikot ng buhay. Ayan ang kanyang tinitingnan. Generations come and go. The earth remains the same. The earth is permanent. The contrast is how ephemeral, how brief, how transitory a generation is compared to the permanence of the earth. And by a generation, we mean the average lifetime. One comes and then goes to give way to the next. And while these generations come and go, the earth permanently goes on with its cycle unchanged. Yung pinagmamasdan ng mga nakalipas na henerasyon na pagsikat at paglubog ng araw, yun pa rin ang namamasdan natin na pagsikat at paglubog ng araw. At pag nakalipas na tayo, yung mga darating na henerasyon, yun din ang pagsikat at paglubog ng araw na kanilang pagmamasdan. Now, it is this observation that sounds cynical, and yet when connected to God, really is wise. And let me suggest two points that we can draw as wisdom out of this. First, one generation is all that we have to live. One generation is all that we have to live. And secondly, one generation is all that we need to serve. One generation is all that we need to serve. So unang-una, one generation is all that we have to live. Isang henerasyon ang tanging mayroon tayo para mabuhay. I read a literal translation which brings it home quite effectively. It read, a generation is going, a generation is coming, and the earth is standing. E ganyan ang comparison na ginagawa rito ng sumulat. May henerasyon na paalis, may henerasyon na parating, ang mundo nakatayo pa rin. Again, the contrast of the transitory nature of a generation compared to the permanence of the earth. He is measuring life, human life that is, by generation. They come, they go, But the point is, you can only have one. You came to earth the way it was left by generations before you, and you will leave it still the same earth. And the lesson that we need to draw from this is that each of us is only within one generation of life and no more. Only one life to live on earth. Isang buhay lang ang ipamumuhay mo dito sa mundo. Now, amidst the sound of pessimism, there is actually here an assumption that is thoroughly biblical. Parang napaka-pessimistic, pero biblical yung kanyang sinasabi. It is rejecting any afterlife theories that hold that one lives on earth beyond his own generation. When you leave your generation, you will not be a part of the one coming after you. Kaya may karunungan ang sinasabi niya. May mga paniniwala na ang tao ay pwede pang magpatuloy pagkatapos ng sarili niyang henerasyon, maaari pa siyang may aktibong partisipasyon sa mga ibang henerasyon. Hindi totoo yan. It is rejecting any afterlife theories that hold that one lives beyond his generation. When you leave your generation, you will not be a part of the coming one. And this early, it slams the door to beliefs such as reincarnation or the stubborn belief and superstition in ghosts of the dead. Yung mga paniniwala ng mga multo, ng mga namatay na, ay magpapakita pa at magkakaroon ng partisipasyon sa buhay na ito, yan ay kamangmangan. Yan ay pamahiin. At ang sinasabi rito ng mayakda sa gitna ng parang napaka yung pessimistic outlook of life, there is wisdom, he is saying, reject any idea that generations that have passed can still participate in the presently active generations. And this is wise, because there are so many superstitions of communicating to the dead. There are so many superstitions of thinking the dead help us. Tumatawag sa mga patay, o yung mga practice ng spiritism, thinking that they can contact the dead. All this is wrong. Listen to Ecclesiastes in a later portion, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Never more will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Ayan ang sinasabi. Wala na silang anumang bahagi sa ginagawa dito sa mundo. O naniniwala tayo nagpapatuloy ang buhay pagkatapos ng kamatayan. There is what we call intermediate state for the soul. But I'm talking of earthly life. And in terms of earthly life, those who are dead have no active participation here. You only live one generation. You only have one generation. So beneath the apparently cynical and pessimistic statement, there is a hidden wisdom. Because this is one of the most important beliefs to hold, is what actually happens at death. Ano ba talaga nangyayari pag namatay? Mas mayaman ang turo ng bagong tipan, pero dito sa lumang tipan pa lamang ay maliwanag na yung pinakabatayang pagtuturo na sa kamatayan, iniiwanan ang lahat ng bahagi sa pangmundong buhay. You see, there's one practical application of this. This past week, I have had to deal with acquaintances and dear ones who have had sudden and tragic deaths. And one of the most effective counsels I can give in such a situation is the idea of closure. There is real cut-off. Now, as grieving as that is, I believe that that helps rather than give this person the false idea that he can talk to his dead loved one. No, he cannot. And his dead loved one cannot talk to him. Whatever spiritists say. Practical ito. Napakagandang karunungan para sa ganitong panahon ng pagdadalamhati. Do not talk to the dead. And if you think the dead is talking to you, it's something else rather than the dead. It's not your loved one, I'm sure. Now, accepting this truth presses on us a very fundamental choice. If you have only one generation to live, make the most of it or waste it. Kung isang henerasyon lang ang ipamumuhay mo, gamitin mo ng lubos o sayangin mo. In any official position, there is a term. Halimbawa, ang presidente sa konstitusyon natin, 6 na taon. Kung gusto niya mag-chacha, baka umabot ng ilang taon pa at maging prime minister, but that's another thing. But you see, a person who is conscious of a term will be, from day one, make the most of it. Hindi ba ang presidente nga, ini-evaluate after so many days? First 100 days, ano nang nagawa niya? And then first year, ano nang nagawa niya? Eh, ganun nating tingnan, mga kapatid, yung ating buhay. Kung ito'y may term, our term is one generation. In fact, many don't even get to finish the average term. One biography of John F. Kennedy carries the title, An Unfinished Life. And that is because right in the middle of his presidential term, he was assassinated. And in a sense, you get the sense of an unfinished life. Di ba, meron tayong expression in English, untimely death. When a person dies, not yet full of one generation. So we do not know when our life will expire, but we know this much, it will not exceed one generation. You may not fully fill one generation. That's a possibility, but the impossibility is that you will exceed one generation. Hindi ka lalampas, walang lalampas sa atin ng isang henerasyon. Kaya't ang punto rito ay you make the most of it or you become apathetic about it. The knowledge that life is brief seems to breed apathy in some, which is what this passage seems to radiate. Parang walang pakialam. Eh, ganun din naman mangyayari. Paglipas ko, ganyan pa rin ang mundo. The sense of apathy. You know what apathy is? I read the story of a teacher who became fed up with the indifference of his class, and he wrote on the board big letter words or letters, apathy. And one student did not understand the word and even mispronounced it, and he asked his seatmate, "What in the world is apathy?" And the student, without meaning to, defined it well. Who cares? And that's apathy. Who cares? Ayan ang sinasabi ng ganitong mga pangungusap. Kung wala ang Diyos, ang pananaw sa buhay ay who cares? Who cares what happens? Who cares what my life makes of this world? This world will remain the same anyway. Well, brethren, do you care about the waste of your days? When you pass on without anything done that is meaningful. And that survival mode. Survival mode of existence is for animals, not for human beings. Don't make your life a bore. So here is wisdom in reflecting on the brevity of life against the permanence of nature around us. You see, part of my fascination with history is the thought of sharing the same nature with those gone now. Did you know that Jose Rizal made reference to the hot springs of Elbi, of Los Baños? And long after I am gone, those hot springs will still be there. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb Mount Everest. He's now dead. And yet the mountain still attracts many climbers. It gives you fascination rather than cynicism. It breeds humility to accept the brevity of life. While the natural cycles move on when you're gone, and to accept the brevity of life also gives one sense a sense of urgency. If you only have one generation, you have no moment to lose. And may I say to you, who have yet to make a decision about the gospel, you have no moment to lose in the matter of your soul. Is that soul ready to leave your generation? You're not sure about that. You may have your plans. You do not know what will transpire a minute from now. This reminds me of the tragedy of the shuttle flight Challenger in 1986. It was the 25th such flight, and in ordinary language, it would be considered routine. But what called unprecedented attention to this flight in 1986 was the Teacher in Space program, meaning somebody ordinary would get to join the flight, and it fell on a teacher, Krista McAuliffe. After so many tryouts, maraming nag-apply, it fell on this one remarkable teacher, Krista McAuliffe. The flight was postponed for some reasons until in 1986 it was ready to go despite the objections of the engineers. They had their worries, but the program organizers wanted to go. And so it was to go, and Krista McAuliffe was interviewed before that. And she invited everybody to a lecture from space on the fourth day of the flight. And she said, it is going to be the biggest class lecture in history. A few seconds after takeoff, Challenger exploded right before the eyes of millions of spectators. So there was the plan to give a lecture to make a mark in history. She did not even know what was going to take place just a few seconds of the flight. And you do not know. You have no moment to lose. Let this wisdom be impressed upon your mind. You only have one generation to live, and you need to make sure you are prepared to fill that one generation you have with something that makes the most of it. If your soul is not ready to face God, make it ready now, not tomorrow, not next week, now. Come to Christ. And if you are in a mode of survival, wake up. And if you're doing something useful, continue on and persevere. We only have one generation. One generation is all that we have to live. And I come to my second point. One generation is all that we need to serve. Now at this point, we will need to understand the words of this passage as an observation of life minus God. I told you about that at the beginning of this series. Sometimes the writer observes, sometimes makes tentative conclusions, and then sometimes insights of wisdom. Here, let us consider this as an observation of life minus God. The preacher, in other words, is inviting his hearers to enter the mind of a man who is reflecting on nature, but without the mind and purpose of God. In other words, he's looking at life without the fear of God. That's his purpose in it. And what the preacher is trying to say is that without fear of God, one may view life as utterly pointless. One may sense himself helpless to make changes. What the natural eyes will see is the monotony of it all. What comes has been there before. Now, you may argue that, well, I know people who do not care about God, but they are passionate about change. Now, the writer will say something about that, the activist. Right now, he is talking about the pessimist. Later on, the activist. The sort of person this passage impersonates is the cynical. One who rejects the potentials of life. One who rejects the possibility of progress. If this is a parent, he would probably excuse the children's misbehavior with, well, boys will be boys. In other words, things will always be the same. If he is in business or in politics, he might say, this is always the way we have done it, and it has worked. Why change? And if this man is in religion or even in church, his attitude is, this is the tradition. We must not violate it by changing it. If ever the mentality of this man would consider change, he would probably say, leave it to the next generation. And the generation comes and goes unchanged. I've seen that in families. You know, parents who are cold to their children, no affection, no warmth. And those children, when they bear their own children, reflect the same coldness and disaffection towards their children. And on the generations go. No change. Sad. When in fact, when there is fear of God, when there is a right view of life, it should radically transform that cynical attitude. There should be that attitude that says, even when we're down, we can, by the grace of God, be up. Things need not always be this way. But you learn from the time that you're down. One of the most successful coaches in NBA is Pat Riley, coach of the champion team LA Lakers. For 19 consecutive seasons, he always managed to have his team enter the playoffs. The playoffs is when the best teams fight it out until the championship. 19 consecutive years, Pat Riley managed to bring his team to the playoffs. And then on the 20th season, he coached the New York Knicks. And for the first time, he had a losing record. Must be a very bad thing to swallow for a winning coach. But when he was interviewed, I liked what he said. He said, the only ultimate failure is the failure to rise again. If you fail to rise from when you're down, that's the ultimate failure. I don't think he has a real fear of God, but that's the right attitude. How much more you and I who should have the fear of God? Because the fear of God will tell us, would remind us that God's work on behalf of his people has always meant progress. It has always meant change. When God works with his people, it always meant things are not always the same. Look at the Israelites, 400 years of slavery in Egypt. But when God took up his cause, a man who spent 40 years in the wilderness was called, and things were not the same. And that's the right attitude to look, to take life with, and especially for us in the New Testament, because God has done his most radical progress in the New Testament with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so my challenge from this viewpoint is aspire to leave behind an influence of change based on a God-centered outlook of life. Mag-iwan ka ng impluensya ng nakapagpapabago batay sa pananaw ng buhay na nakatutok sa Diyos. As I was challenging the fathers this morning, what is it that we can best bequeath our children? A father who labors in order to sustain his children's need for food and schooling is a decent father. But not quite the thing that a Christian father should aspire merely for. And I say again, they must see God in us. We must bequeath to our children the thought that we have taught them of God. That they are not to take life in surrender to its to the processes that tell them you just be the same as the others. We must teach them of God who calls them to faith and to godliness. Yan ang uri ng impluensyang iwanan natin. Aspire to be in your vocation. One whose influence is felt because you live for God. As I aspire to be a preacher that will influence reform through God's word, sometimes in defiance of the status quo, even among reformed churches. Do not listen to the deceit that you need to be someone else's life in order to be the best you can be. On the same day that JFK was assassinated, another man died, but understandably, the news of his death was buried in the inside pages with that news of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. On the same day of November 22, 1963, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, C.S. Lewis died. And what a gigantic influence C.S. Lewis left. I dare say even more radical and definitely God-centered than ever a president like JFK could have left as a legacy. And that's what we need, brethren. Serve our generation. There's this interesting word in Acts 13:36, which says, David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. That's what we need to aspire. Serve our own generation by the will of God, and then we can fall asleep. When you fall asleep in the end of your generation, would you have served your generation by the will of God? Would you have served your children by the will of God? Again, think of what you will bequeath to them. Kaya ako isa nga lang, hindi ko kailangan ng last will. Susulat ko na lang sa last will, iyon na lahat. But the real influence to live is serve your generation by the will of God. David Brainerd was one of those who we would say died an untimely death, age 29. But by his diaries, what an influence he left. I've meditated many times on those diaries at times when I felt so down and then felt myself encouraged that indeed it is possible for a man, even a preacher, to experience these things and still aspire to a godly life. I do not mean to press that we should all be a C.S. Lewis or a David Brainerd in influencing our next generation. On the last night of the week for Pastor So's daughter, I was telling you about last Sunday, there was a tribute to her advocacies in life, and it was her sister, next in line to her, who was giving the tribute. And you can say, what a life she lived. She was single until her death at 52. And she advocated the education of children, working for UNICEF, going to dangerous places for the sake of educating children. But the way the sister finished her tribute was the one that touched me most. She simply said the reason why she was doing these things is because of her relationship to Jesus Christ. She was passionate about education because she was the servant of Christ. What is your passion? What is it that when you leave this world, somebody can say and give a simple tribute to you and speak of your passion and will say that the reason behind your passion is because of your relationship to Jesus Christ? Don't fall on the deceit that we need to be in the bygone days that we often idealize. Don't fall on the deceit that you need someone else's life. Be what God has made you to be. Live the generation that God has given for you to live. That generation is yours. Tim Brokaw, the popular anchor of NBC, wrote a best-selling book with the title, The Greatest Generation. And what did he consider the greatest generation? The generation who lived through the Second World War. It was that generation that was characterized by sturdy, persevering attitude in the face of so many trials and afflictions. Children are having it very well today, and they're not being prepared for a sturdy life to make the most of their generation. And brethren, we need that. Challenge yourself. Here, the writer is looking at the permanence of the earth, the same sunrise and sunset, the same circulation of the air, the same river flow into the sea. And generations come and go. One of those generations is yours. How will it leave this earth? Will it make a change? Let's close with this hymn. Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I die or live. To love and serve you is my share, and this your grace must give. Ultimately, we do not know when our expiry date is going to be. The one thing that we have, that we know, is that it will not exceed one generation. What will you make of an impact on your generation? Well, let it be, to serve you is my share, and this your grace must give. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo nga kami, Panginoon, na mapanghawakan ang karunungan na nakapaloob sa mga pag-oobserba ng Ecclesiastes sa aming binasa, ang kaiklian ng isang henerasyon kumpara ng pagtuloy-tuloy ng pag-ikot sa mundo. At kung isipin namin ito, ay itinuturo nito ang isang napakahalagang karunungan na may isa lamang kaming henerasyon na ipamumuhay. At paglipas ng henerasyon na ito, wala kaming partisipasyon sa mga susunod na henerasyon. And thus, it reminds us that one generation is all that we have to live. That we need to make the most of it and not to waste it. That rather than apathy, we should have a sense of urgency. That we should have a sense of humility. That we must make use of what you have given to us, a life to live. And indeed, instead of pessimism, may we have that fear of God that is able to rise above the sense of the helpless, the sense of what is transitory, and realize that one generation is all that we need to serve. That we need not be the pessimist who rejects the potentials of life. We need not be the cynical who gives up on the possibility of progress and changes. But by the fear of God, we know that you have done changes, that things have not been the same when you move, as we have observed in the freedom of the Israelites after 400 years of slavery when you called Moses, and even more in the New Testament when you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, by his death and resurrection. Things are not to be the same. And so we ask, Lord, that let it be our aspiration to leave behind an influence of change based on a God-centered outlook of life. We pray that it may be our aspiration that we would not just leave what an ordinary, decent man or woman may leave behind, but that we would leave a legacy that is based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed, only one life, it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.